Good morning, everybody. Well, nope. Let's stop that. That's what happens when you put it on auto sweep. It decides to do its own thing. But good morning, everybody. We are back. We're taking a break from Open Line this morning as we have one of our interviews, and we are talking to Ray Rotgib. Good morning, Mr. Rotgib. How are you doing this morning?
I am doing well, thank you, and good morning to you.
It's a pleasure to have you in studio today, and you're wanting to talk about a new alliance that you guys have that's been formed, and it's called the Southeast Kansas Museum Alliance. Can you tell us just a little bit about this new alliance?
Absolutely. It's an alliance of museums in Southeast Kansas that are voluntarily meeting for the betterment of tourism and museums in Southeast Kansas, to be brief about it. It's a group of people that have come together as the result of a Kansas Museum Association meeting in Independence a couple of years ago. And we're not structured formally, but we've had a number of meetings and are structuring as we work through the process of identifying what kind of a group we are. We have a stated mission and we have some direction and a great deal of interest.
And there's a lot of good museums here in Southeast Kansas, tons of great ones. And one of them is the Museum and Arts Center in Independence to be one of them. And also the Historical Society Museum over in Caney. So there's a lot of great museums. That's just a few of the museums here in Southeast Kansas. There's a lot of them. And it's very cool to go to them. And so how did this alliance come about?
Well, and of course, Coffeyville has
the Dalton Museum.
There is the Brown Mansion, mm-hmm. and the Coffeyville Aviation History Museum as well. There's a number of museums. What we have discovered, there's somewhere between 60 to 65 museums in the area that we've identified as Southeast Kansas. And it's our goal to reach out to each of those museums in some way and invite them to participate voluntarily in the Southeast Kansas Alliance to, again, promote travels to museums, visiting museums, getting around to the museums. We have some real gems in Southeast Kansas.
Absolutely. And of course, the Southeast region covering here covers Coffee County, Anderson County, Linn County, Greenwood, Woodson, Allen, Bourbon, Elk, Wilson, Neosho, Crawford, Chautauqua, Montgomery, Labette, and Cherokee. So it covers those counties, the Southeast region. And there's all kinds of different regions. You know, there's the South Central region as well. But how did this museum alliance come about to where all these museums can work together?
Well, as I mentioned, the Kansas Museum Association had a state meeting in Independence, November of 2018. And there had been some discussion among different entities in the Southeast Kansas area of getting together. Out of that particular meeting at Independence in November of 2018, there were some people that stepped forward and made a few calls, got a few of us together. We got together in Fredonia, I believe, the next October, and invited all the museums that might have an interest in a coalition or an alliance. And I believe there were 40 some people that showed up.
Wow,
that day.
Wow, that's amazing.
So we schedule a meeting to basically a focus group meeting is what it was for any museum that wanted to attend a few months after that in Independence. And we had quite a number of museums represented. Again, 30, 40, 45 people. I don't remember the exact numbers. And we explored what this organization should be. We discussed governance. We discussed who could be a member. We discussed what the needs were, what are the interests of the museums in Southeast Kansas. Out of that, frankly, has grown the Southeast Kansas Museum Alliance.
And it's a great alliance, and you guys do have membership meetings that do come here and there. Your most recent one you had on February 8th at the Howard Benson Museum. And were you able to attend that one? And how did it go?
Oh, yes. I've attended all of them as president of the Alliance. It's part of my duty to be there. It went very well. I think we had, I'll be very direct with you here. Howard is on our western frontier as far as the Southeast Kansas Lion geographic area is concerned. We were a little concerned that we'd have a good turnout because of the distance for driving. But we had, I think, around 45 people at that event, representing about 15 or 20 museums. We have a standard, we've developed a standard agenda that seems to be very successful. It's a three-part agenda with some amenities thrown in. The first part of the agenda is organizational issues, rehashing and discussing the structure itself. As I said, we don't have a formal structure. Therefore, we're honing the structure every meeting we get. And then the second section is what we call an educational section. And we try to bring someone in that's either a best practice person or someone that has an expertise in some other area of museum management. And they talk to us and for about 30, 45 minutes. Then we have what we call a local history session. And the hosting museum talks about their community, their history, and their museum. Then we have a lunch, and after lunch, we have a tour of the museum. In this case, Howard has seven museums.
Wow.
Yeah. Each building is a museum. They have an old schoolhouse. They have an old filling station, the old kind with the canopy that comes over the drive, and it's about enough room for a 39 Chevy coupe to drive through. They have a doll museum, just a number of different buildings. So it's proven to be an amazing event. We have met in Howard, we've met in Independence, we have met in Parsons, and we have met in St. Paul. We meet quarterly. And each of those meetings is informational, instructional, and invigorating to some extent, because we always learn something from our neighbors.
And the last one you just had was preservation for small museums. Can you just tell us a little bit about what that program was about?
Well, yes, it was dealing with, actually, the presenter was a young man that's working on his master's degree in museum management. He talked about his personal experience as to how he got into museum management and shared with us what his expectations was for his career. And he talked about some general applications of our general procedures and techniques in preserving artifacts, cataloging artifacts, and a nice general overview of things that need to be done in museums. And it resonated with many of us because many of us have a need for learning more about cataloging, learning more about artifact preservation and handling, learning more about stories, writing stories. You know, a museum is wonderful, full of wonderful antiques or artifacts, as we call them. But the artifact itself is not as much of an interest as the story around that artifact. And that's becoming a pretty common theme in a lot of the museums, is to explore the stories around the artifacts. And certainly your Dalton Museum does a wonderful
Absolutely.
Job of that, with the story of the Daltons and the artifacts that they have. We're looking for additional programs from the Kansas State Historical Society and other experts in the field for the future meetings.
And I'm kind of like that when I go to a museum. I like looking at the actual thing, you know, it's pretty cool. But if they have like a little story next to it or something, I love reading about that, because it's so interesting to think, hey, this item has been around for this long and it was involved in this, you know, X, you know, whatever X. And I've always loved going to museums ever since I've been a little kid, just because history has always been one of those things that just interests me greatly.
Again, yes, and it's that artifact that tells the story. You know, you might see a little wooden meat beater tenderizer in one of the kitchens, and it might say, donated by John Jones. Well, what does that mean? I don't know. But if that little, if there's a little story on that meat tenderizer that says that John Jones's aunt beat his grandfather to death with that meat tenderizer, there's a little bit more interest now,
right,
in that object.
A little bit of a story, and it
absolutely
people can kind of put themselves in that where they can kind of visualize it basically with stuff like that. Your next meeting, the location is yet to be announced, but it's going to be best practices for building exhibits. And do you know who is going to be heading that up, and kind of what they're going to be talking about a little bit?
Actually, I do, and I'm sorry I didn't give you a more updated version of my cue sheet or my talking point sheet. That next meeting will actually be in Coffeyville,
okay,
at the Brown Mansion, and we're looking forward to that. And we have a best practices person that will be talking about making a presentation at the meeting as part of the educational piece. And we're really grateful to Chris Crane and their group for hosting. Hosting is a big job. You've got to set up for 35, 40, 50 people. It starts at 9 o'clock in the morning with some kind of a mixer or get to know each other. A wonderful opportunity for networking. And then we go into the agenda with the three pieces, and it finishes at about noon. And a lot of arrangements to be made. I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, so it's a lot to do, but again, it's going to be exciting. So again, this is going to be on April 4th at the Brown Museum. The Southeast Museum Alliance will be hosting, and then, of course, you said you guys meet quarterly, so your next meeting after that looks like it's going to be on September 12th. But that location and topic is yet to be announced. And
I might add that location is tentatively going to be in Pittsburgh, Kansas.
Okay.
Pittsburgh, Kansas is hosting the Kansas State Historical Society to look at bringing a state conference to Pittsburgh. And it looks like we might be meeting in conjunction.
Okay.
With that group. I might add that one of the responsibilities that the board, has given to the president is to represent the Southeast Kansas group at tourism meetings. And I've been privileged to be at a couple of the Southeast Kansas tourism meetings, and have been able to work with your chamber person, Samantha, and I can't think of her last name, a really energetic, fine person. So we have a presence with the regional and the state tourism people, and that's important so that we have a voice in matters relative to tourism.
Yeah, it's a huge thing, and it's great though that you guys are working with the local chamber of commerces and stuff, because that way you can kind of get the word out of about all the museums in the area. And like you said, there are a ton of museums in Southeast Kansas to check out, so there's no shortage. There, you can find one pretty much just anywhere. So it's a great program that you guys are doing, and I've seen here, you got your board members here, and they're from all over the place, anywhere from Pleasanton to Cherryville to Caney, St. Paul, Fredonia, Independence, Girard. So it's just kind of scattered out about the place. Your board members, and of course you're the president of the board. So again, it sounds like you guys have really hit the ground running here.
We have hit the ground running. We've actually, the region is so large that we split the region as far as representation is concerned. We have an East and West division, and we've taken 169 as kind of the divider, because there seemed to be the same number of museums on the east side as there was on the west side. And we try to get representatives from each of those areas, three representatives from each side of 169, and then what we call a representative at large, and that makes up our board. And it is a working board. It's a very effective board of talented people. I might mention, if I can, a project that we have started working on right off the bat here with this group. It's called the Southeast Kansas Museum Passport. Passports are not unknown in this area. I think Southeast Kansas Tourism had a passport a number of years ago. The National Park Service does a passport where you visit a national park and you've got a little booklet and you can get it stamped. And there are some benefits of having that done. Northwest Kansas has a passport program that we looked at that we thought was very appealing for us. So we're modeling a passport program after that. And if I might, I'd like to explain a little bit how that works.
Okay, absolutely.
The idea of the passport is to encourage people in the area to get around to the different museums. To do that, we're creating a passport that will list participating museums. And when a person takes their passport to a participating museum, they get it stamped or marked in some way that they visited that particular museum. And then after you have visited a number of museums in the area, your name is put into a pot for a drawing for cash prizes or for some type of reward for making the circuit. We hope to have that out sometime in the fall or early next year.
That sounds like a really cool idea. And plus, it kind of gives you, motivation to get out there and see all of them. And you never know when you're going to see something that's going to be great things out there. So that's a pretty cool idea that you guys come up with. And I'm guessing, like you say, it's going to be out late fall, maybe early next year. Is it going to be kind of like where you can go to like any of the museums to purchase that passport?
Well, again, this is in the planning stage. The outline that I've been given out of the last committee meeting was that there is an interest in making that passport free. It would be passed out by the museums to anyone that's interested in it. Southeast Kansas Tourism is supporting the project. They may be an outlet for us for getting the passports out. So you could get a passport from a number of places, and then your only obligation would be to attend the museums that you want to attend. The more you attend, the better off you'll be as far as having a chance to maybe win some prizes. So we're pretty excited about it.
And plus to get to see some great museums along the way as well.
Well, and you actually discover some real gems in Southeast Kansas. So we're quite excited about that opportunity.
Definitely love me some museums. I've been to the Dalton Defenders Museum here in town, been to the Brown Mansion as well, and just both of them, I know the Dalton Defenders, they moved into an actually bigger building, and it's actually bigger and better than it was before, and it's incredible. Like you said, there's some hidden gems out there. You just got to go. You just got to know what to look for, and you find them, and you end up just being kind of amazed when you get there and see the things in there.
Yeah, Chris and I think her husband have done an amazing job of taking the bank building and turning it into a first-class museum. I highly recommend. If you're from Coffeyville, shame on you if you haven't been into the museum. It's certainly worth the trip. But there are a number of wonderful museums in Southeast Kansas.
Absolutely, and including right here in Coffeyville. So, again, we are speaking with Ray Rothgeb. He is the president of the Southeast Museum Alliance, Southeast Kansas Museum Alliance. And, of course, they were established back on October 14th of last year at the Wilson County Museum in Fredonia, and like I said, you guys have hit the ground running, and it sounds like you guys are you're working really hard and getting things done very quickly.
We are, and we are certainly interested in hearing from any museums in the area. I can't say that we have been successful in contacting everybody. We've tried very hard, but in some cases we may have outdated information, and in some cases no information at all. So if someone is out there that wants more information on the Southeast Kansas Museum Alliance, if they'd email us at museum123@cable1.net or sekmuseums@google.com.
Okay.
Gmail.com.
Gmail.com.
Excuse me. sekmuseums@gmail.com. And we'd be more than happy to get them information. And again, we're looking for any museums in the area to come together with us. And I might mention that what we are endeavoring to do is to support all the museums of Southeast Kansas. We realize each of us have our own interests and want to be successful. We are putting together a coalition of people that want those museums to be successful as a group as well. And we want to, and are, I think, are doing a pretty good job of promoting each other's events, sharing activities, and coming together to share resources and to provide learning opportunities so that these museums can both collect and share their unique historical experience and the histories of their area.
So again, we're talking to Ray Rothgeb from the Southeast Kansas Museum Alliance. I appreciate you coming in today, giving us all this great information about this program. And once again, if anybody wants to get a hold of you guys, how can they contact you once again?
They can call 620-331-3515 or sekmuseums@gmail.com.
Well, again, Mr. Rothgeb, I thank you very much for coming in today. I really do appreciate it, and I hope you have a fantastic day.
It's been my pleasure, Kyle, and thank you very much.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, we'll restart Open Line. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF.